Hello, church. Today we're looking at Isaiah chapter 28. It will be the entire chapter, and I'm hoping that you may have read this already. But currently we're in this series of looking at a very, very interesting part of the Old Testament. Isaiah has definitely a lot of prophecies and a lot of stories about just what God does, his actions, his desires, his will for the people. And having said all that, I think it's really important to look at what's going on in the context of chapter 28. In chapter 28, within the first couple of verses, we see a very strong pronounced judgment against Jerusalem and Ephraim. We see that God is quite upset. He's quite angry. And in one of the questions, it asks, what exactly is the reason why God is so upset for? What happened that God is sort of enacting his judgment or his wrath? And a lot of the themes that we see in the first couple of verses in Isaiah, it's really showing how people have given themselves over to temptation. People have given themselves over to drunkenness. People have given themselves over to vices. And these vices are really important to consider. And the reason why I say this is because many of us, right, many people in this present time and age, we all struggle with different types of vices. Maybe for some people it's gambling, for some people it's drinking, for other people it's smoking, idolatry, lust, whatever it is, right? At some point, all of us struggle with something. We all have certain things that we look at and we wish we were a little bit better. We wish we were able to overcome these problems, or we tell ourselves many of these things. But having looking at the first couple of verses in Isaiah, you know, really, I can't help but empathize with the people. And I'm not empathizing just because, right? I think there's really a lot of good reasons to empathize, because these are people that should know God's will. These are people that have had a lot of blessings in their lives, and I empathize with them because, you know, all in all, these people, even though they've messed up, even though they've completely done something wrong against God, these people were also folks that got caught up in sin and struggles and all these things. I empathize with these people because, in some sense, we are like them today. It's so easy for us to forget the goodness of God. It's so easy for us to forget the faithfulness of God. It's so easy for us to become like sheep sometimes because we get caught up in the things of this world. And so initially, I think maybe 5 or 10 years ago, if I read this passage, I would find myself being really frustrated and angry, thinking to myself, why would these people do that? Why couldn't they get their heads on straight? Why couldn't they, you know, be better, be more faithful, or be better Christians? But you know, now that I'm sort of going through life, I understand that in an ideal world they should be more faithful, but they probably had a lot of problems. They probably had a lot of struggles. The biggest thing that's constantly mentioned is about drinking. That even the priests, the prophets, those that were supposed to be spiritual and spiritual leaders. These people especially were finding themselves indulging in worldliness and sin. And this message isn't, or this devotional isn't really to talk about whether or not we should drink or not. That's not the focus of this passage. The focus is looking at how the people that are supposed to teach the word, the people that are supposed to preach the word and to share this gospel, you know, with other people, these same people have allowed sin to enter into their hearts, and they turn their backs away from God. That's really the whole point of what we're looking at today. Yes, there's constant sin. Yes, there's constant mistakes that are made every single day, past and present. But these people willfully gave themselves away. These people, these leaders, these shepherds, they willfully turned their back towards God. And I think it's very reasonable for God to be upset. It's very reasonable for him to declare judgment upon this nation, because this nation has completely turned their back away from God. Now, having said that, I think this later half from 14 and on, it sort of gives us a little bit of hope. And the reason why I say that is because God makes it very clear that the people have given themselves, essentially in verse 15, he says that you have made a covenant with death, and with Sheol we have an agreement. And this really reveals to us what's been going on with the people in turning their back away from God. In turning their focus or their gaze away from God, what the people have done is essentially make a promise with sin and with death. What they have done is they have turned their back away from God, who graciously gives and blesses people, and they have chosen a life that is temporary, a life that is short, a life that maybe might be devoid of meaning. And I think that's a very sobering thing to look at. And we go on to the rest of the passage, and there's sort of this call to repentance or a call to turn back to God, because God rightfully teaches and instructs. He does this because he loves us and you know, all these things. So having said all of this, I think it's prudent for me to sort of ask, what are some ways in we may have turned our back from God? You know, are there moments, are there specific instances in our lives where we have sort of unintentionally perhaps placed other things more important or called other things to be more important than God? Are there other areas in life where we've chosen to value as opposed to the direction that God has set for us? Are there things that we do? Are there vices that we give ourselves over to? And in so doing, almost betray the things that God has given us? Once again, church, this isn't really a message of condemnation, but this is a message of correction and hope and encouragement. Because no matter where we find ourselves, God has given us several opportunities to turn back to him. And he still offers us those chances today. God still gives us an opportunity to be faithful to the covenant that he has set with us. He gives us the opportunity to love him and to turn to him, to rely on him. For all these things, not just for blessings, but for strength, for encouragement, for all these things. Where the people in Jerusalem and Ephraim failed, we are able to learn from their mistakes and rise above all these things. And my hope for all of us today is that we would remember, that we would remind ourselves to turn back towards God every single time we find ourselves in the midst of discouragement, every time we find ourselves turning away from the Lord and turning towards vices, no matter what circumstance we are in. My hope is that all of us remember that we are, at the end of the day, God's people, and he has given us all the tools that we need to overcome vices and sin and etc. And my hope is that we will be able to do this together as a body of Christ. So with that being said, let me pray. Lord, I ask that you bring blessings upon our lives today. Lord, I ask that you give us the strength and the encouragement that we need to overcome these challenges. But more importantly, would you help us be right in your eyes? Would you help us seek righteousness in your presence? Would you help us find the courage we need to confess and repent for our sins and for our erroneous ways? More than anything, Father, Lord, I ask that you give us the strength that we need to overcome trial and tribulation. So, Lord, be with us. God, we thank you, and I pray all this in your Son's name. Amen.